He was born in the Bitterroot Valley.
Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is CJ Box, who's the author of 24 novels, and this is his latest, The Bitter Roots, the title referring to the Bitterroot Mountain Range that borders Montana and Idaho. And we read the continuing story of Cassie Duell, the single mother and private investigator who's been retained by a criminal defense attorney, Rachel Mitchell, to investigate a case where one of Rachel's clients is accused of the rape of his 15-year-old niece. The investigation takes Cassie into the heart of a family dynasty in Montana and ranching area, and the action never stops. CJ, Cassie as a PI and Rachel as the attorney, both strong female characters. As you considered this story, would it have worked any other way if these characters had been males?
It might have worked, but I don't think it would be as interesting, at least to me. I think that's part of the appeal of the books to some degree to most readers, is that it's a little bit off type. Cassie goes into a very kind of old traditional ranching community that's run by a dynasty kind of family, and she's up against all of the brothers in that family and the father. So I think that wouldn't be as interesting if Cassie were a male.
This dynasty family, the Kleinsassers, kind of reminded me of the Ewings of Dallas, in as much as the family squabbles and drama just among them. In fact, they're described in the book as the Olympics of family dysfunction. So what's kind of going on with them?
Well, it's based on something that's always interested me. I used to be a journalist and covered some of the stories of third and fourth generation ranches where the grandkids or great-grandchildren all went to war. Some wanted to keep the ranch, some wanted to sell it, some wanted to just go away. They don't have the same kind of emotional investment in the place as their forebears did, so they go nuclear on each other. And that's what I wanted to cover in this book, is that kind of situation where all of the siblings basically hate each other's guts and form different alliances and are very happy to accuse the oldest brother of betraying them and committing this horrible crime. And Cassie's job, because she's working as a private investigator, is to confirm that the investigation was done correctly and that he is, in fact, guilty, in the hope that he will decide not to fight it in court.
Well, and that was a real important point in the book between her employer, Rachel, the attorney, and Cassie, because Cassie's a former cop, and it kind of runs against her grain to work for a defense attorney, because she kind of mistakes that as thinking, well, I'm trying to get this guy off on a technicality, and that's what you want me to do. But so how does she go ahead and reconcile in her own mind and bring her law enforcement experience to her working on the defense side of things?
Well, she very much goes to the county, the Loxa County, with the intention in mind of confirming that the investigation against the lawyer's client was done above board and fairly, and that he is, in fact, guilty of sin, which she wants him to be. But as she starts to dig into it, and there's a lot of pushback, not only from the local law enforcement, but certainly from the family, she starts to realize that maybe the case isn't as rock solid as she thought it was, much to her chagrin.
Well, Cassie lives in Bozeman, southern Montana, and the Kleinsassers, that dynasty is up in the northwest. Is there a distinct cultural difference within Montana over those two areas?
There really is. The northwest part of Montana is almost Pacific Northwest. Very mountainous. It's almost like the whole state is just pushed up against the Idaho border right there, and the mountains are there. There's a different kind of culture, more of a timber mining culture in that part of the state. And up until recently, it was kind of a backwards area. But part of the book, one of the themes in the book, which reflects in real life, is that there's a real culture clash going on in that part of the state of Montana, where a lot of newcomers have moved in, kind of upsetting the apple cart, wanting to do their own thing. I talk a little bit about something I call the Church of Trout, where people just drive around looking like they're going fly fishing and wearing the clothing all day, but not really ever going fishing, and that aggravates the locals that they do that. So there's a lot going on, kind of a lot of things stirring around in this area. It's just not all traditional.
Well, and then there's the ethno-religious group, the Hutterites. They factor into this book, and I know that we have some colonies like that around Iowa, but what is that colony like in Montana? Is it everywhere?
It's not everywhere. It's really more to the central northern part, more so in Canada. But there's certainly, this was, in the book at least, a splinter group, and then a splinter group from the splinter group. And the matriarch of the entire ranch family was actually thrown out for reasons that Cassie's trying to figure out what he did.
I'm chatting with C.J. Box about his latest novel, The Bitter Roots. It's the continuing tale of Cassie Duell, the private investigator. Cassie, as a P.I., it seemed like she always made mental notes when people were providing too much detail to her in various ideas or in various interviews throughout the book. Where's that line drawn for a P.I. when all of a sudden you say, all right, that's too much detail?
I think that just goes back to her cop training. And, you know, I've done a lot of ride-alongs with law enforcement and game wardens, not so much with private investigators. That's new, kind of new for me. But there are certain tells that most law enforcement look for, and over-explaining things generally means, you know, they're trying to get their story straight or over-convincing, and she picks up on those things.
There's a side story in the book. It was some teenage drama between Cassie's son and a girl in school that he likes. And I know it's been a few years since you've been a teenager, but how did you get into the mind of young teenagers to capture this whole teenage drama so effectively?
Well, I think, you know, I try to always establish a unique point of view and motivation for every character in the book. And, I can certainly remember, kind of the confusion and frustration of being a, 15, 16-year-old boy and trying to figure out, what girls are thinking and what kind of signals they're sending, and are you sending signals to them, and just that general overall confusion, and just trying to capture that in that character.
At one point, you describe Montana, and you do it so beautifully, it becomes its own character, but there's a mountain fire going on here, and you describe it in the book as it sounded like a jet engine, and that's not a descriptive term that I would have expected. Where did you get that whole idea about how these mountain fires sound and look and feel?
Yeah, throughout the entire book, almost the entire state is on fire. And a lot of that, part of it works, I think, dramatically, because it kind of isolates the communities. But a lot of it is based on the fact that when I was researching this particular novel, Montana was on fire. And when I was in that area in western Montana, I drove up a canyon just to kind of just get a sense of the place, and met oncoming fire vehicles coming down the mountain telling me to turn around because the fire was just roaring down the canyon. And I could see it in my rearview mirror as I turned around, so I incorporated that in the book.
And then part of the book also describes how desolate a lot of areas of Montana are, and it's not so overt in the book, but there's parts where there's no mobile phone coverage and the GPS system doesn't work quite right on the vehicle. How rugged are these areas in between towns and cities in Montana in 2019?
Well, it's that still exists, that kind of isolation. Sometimes just a few miles out of kind of major population centers like Missoula or Hamilton, because it's so mountainous, you almost instantly lose cell phone service, and GPS services don't work correctly. I experienced that on my own, and that's something. It also happens all across Wyoming where I live.
And then I read about a tradition in the book I've never heard of before. It's a hauling day feast. And I live in a farm state, but I've never heard of hauling day feast. Can you kind of explain what that is?
That's the day where on a big ranch, all of the big cattle movers, trucks show up and haul the cows away, either for slaughter or for different pastures. And usually the gathering of them involves all the family and neighbors and friends, and when the cows are all gone, then the big feast begins, and it's usually a kind of barbecue sort of thing. It's also done during branding, where you get everybody together and then feed them.
All right. Well, this book was just nothing short of a thriller. It was The Bitter Roots. It's by C.J. Box. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. C.J., just another fantastic offering for us to enjoy here as we round out the summer reading season. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
It's my pleasure, and thank you so much for reading the book so carefully. I appreciate that.
My pleasure as well. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Oh.